Hello, I'm Rick Lancaster. Thank you for tuning in. Grab your Bible as we study through God's Word together. It's my hope that as we go through these messages, that we will all grow in our understanding of God's Word. As we grow in our understanding, we'll also be better equipped to glorify God, bless others, and grow faith, ours and others. If you have any questions about anything in this teaching, send me a message. I would love to connect with you. With that said, let's get into the Word and see what the Spirit would say to us today.
Because he has that ability. And as we look at a topic, I'm going to touch on a topic, and then Randy is going to share some future or some current events and relate them to Bible prophecy. And all of that, we will get to know Jesus better. We'll get to know God and his will better, as well as begin that process of continuing that process of preparing ourselves for what is coming. Amen? All right, well, let's start with a word of prayer, and then we'll get into it. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this opportunity to gather as your people. Lord, blessed to have so many here this morning. And Lord, none online right now, but we imagine some will watch this afterwards. And so we pray, Lord, for your blessing on all the hearts that are present, that you administer to us. Help us to see what you want to say to your church today. We thank you for all now in Jesus' name. Amen. So my topic for today is the day of the Lord, and I have 20 minutes to talk about it, which means I'm not really going to talk that much about it because it's a lot bigger than... Oh, those are the wrong notes.
Changed up on me.
Are you using my notes back there, the paper notes?
Mine too.
Okay. Hmm. Yeah, that's the wrong thing. I must have sent you the wrong thing.
He sent me the wrong thing.
Yeah, sorry about
that. I wonder I'm not ready.
Yeah. Yeah, just messing you up. Sorry about that. All right. With that, I can't really fix that right this second.
No,
sorry.
Can. I don't want it fixed. I want to listen.
So we're turning your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. I thought it was kind of weird what you said to me this morning. I was thinking, okay, I don't understand.
I thought it was kind of weird that I got that.
Yeah. The term, the day of the Lord or day of the Lord, is literally found 32 times, both Old Testament and New Testament. So it's not a New Testament concept or an Old Testament. It's a Bible concept that we need to understand. Not only is it 32 times literally, but there are hundreds of other allusions to it. So phrases like that day or the day, different phrases like that are also alluding to this day that it's referring to. It's a very important doctrine in the church, and it's something we need to understand. But we rarely focus on it particularly, and like I said, we're only going to glance at it today because it is a very broad topic. It really ultimately involves all of future prophecy. And so all future prophecies can be summarized down into the day of the Lord. And so that's why I'm saying we're not going to get very deep into it, but we're going to look at his text here in 1 Thessalonians 5, where the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica, and he wrote on many different topics. At the end of chapter 4, he gives us the central teaching that we use to teach the rapture of the church, that God said at some point, Jesus is going to come back, not all the way to the earth, but he's going to come back in the clouds, and he's going to snatch his church out of this world. And we believe, and the primary teaching we see for that is in 1 Thessalonians, end of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But then he goes on into chapter 5, and that's what we're going to focus on today. So 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1. But concerning the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. Yeah, the natural question that would come after hearing that Jesus is going to take his church out of the world would be what? When? When is that going to happen? Or what are the signs that it's coming? And Paul says, you don't really need to know that. He says in verse 2, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. That the Bible teaches something that we call the imminent return of Christ. And the idea of imminence is that it is going to come without warning, without signs is the idea there. It'll be a surprise. It'll be sudden, as a thief in the night, meaning life is going on. It talks about peace and prosperity, all these different things it talks about, and then bam, it's going to happen, sudden, unexpected, and for a great many, surprisingly so. So the question is, as they're being taught that Jesus is coming back, the next question is, when is Jesus coming back? What's the answer we should give? Soon. We don't know, right? We don't know the day or the hour, but he's coming back. And the signs we see and the things that Randy's going to talk about are signs that it could be soon. Now, people have been waiting for 2,000 years for Jesus to come back. So, our soon could be soon, for the rest of our lives. As we look at the signs, it's hard to imagine that, but that's another conversation. So the Bible teaches us something, that this day of the Lord, we understand that the rapture is going to be unexpected or sudden, imminent, coming soon, but also the day of the Lord is imminent. Ezekiel 30, verse 3 says this, "For the day is near, even the day of the Lord is near." What does near mean? Soon. "It will be a day of clouds, the time of the Gentiles." One of the ways that we describe this season or generation is the time of the Gentiles. And so we are in that time, and the day of the Lord is near soon. Here are some just a few verses that give us a sense of the nature of the day of the Lord. This is important because it helps us to understand what this day is about. Isaiah 13:9, "Behold, the day of the Lord comes cruel, with both wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he will destroy its sinners from it." Jeremiah 46:10, "For this is the day of the Lord God of hosts, a day of vengeance, that he may avenge himself on his adversaries. The sword shall devour it. It shall be satiated and made drunk with their blood. For the Lord of God of hosts has a sacrifice in the north country by the river Euphrates." And Joel 1:15, "Alas, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as destruction from the Almighty." And one of the other prophets, I didn't reference it here, but also questioned the people of Israel and said, "Why are you excited about the day of the Lord coming?" And meaning that they were not in a place they had nothing to look forward to. They were looking forward to the judgment of God's enemies. What they didn't understand is that many of them were worthy of God's judgment as well. And so the idea is that the day of the Lord is not something we should relish so much, because it's a terrible time on the earth. Terrible, terrible time on the earth. It's when God, the Lord God, the day of the Lord God, when he personally intervenes in history and executes his judgment on a wicked, God-hating, Christ-rejecting world. That's what the day of the Lord is all about. And there is no place in Scripture where we're given any sense that it's something to be looked forward to, that it is something to be excited about in any of that. Because to be excited about God's enemies being judged is to have the wrong heart, because God isn't excited about judging his enemies. He will do it because he is holy, but it's all about preparing this world for the next thing, because ultimately the day of the Lord is culminated with the second coming of Jesus Christ, the establishment of his kingdom, the ultimate judging of God's enemies, and then the establishment of the eternal kingdom. And so that the day of the Lord is all about getting ready for the second coming. So again, we don't have time for an in-depth study, but we need to understand the world has been in bondage, and been in bondage to sin and the wiles of the devil since the Garden of Eden. That is, we can see that all through Scripture. The whole Bible is about preparing the world for the first coming and then the second coming. The first advent of Christ and the second advent of Christ, the ultimately culminating in the day of the Lord. So Jesus, God sent Jesus back, or sent him to us to make a way for us to break free of the bondage of sin and to escape the judgment that's coming, either for our own sin or the judgment that's coming to this world. to escape that judgment. You know, some people accuse Christians of being escapists. Yep, guilty. I'm looking forward to escaping the judgment because God's word says I will. God's patient, right? Do we know that? God is patient? You know, he is amazingly patient, and you ought to just fall on your face before him and thank him for that, because he doesn't have to be patient with us. He has every bit in his right to judge us for our sin, but he doesn't do that. But his patience will eventually run out. 2 Peter 3:8-9, but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is so patient. He's waiting and waiting and waiting, tolerating and putting up with the wickedness of this world in the hopes that some will be saved. Grace, grace, grace. And God is waiting for them to repent. And if they will not repent, there's only one thing left. If you reject grace, the only thing left is judgment. And that is what the day of the Lord is all about. The day of the Lord is about judgment. It's about judging this world for the rebellion. And as we're going through the book of Revelation, one of the things that I've said on numerous occasions, especially once we get into, you know, chapter 6 and beyond, is to watch for the evidence of God's grace in the midst of judgment. That all through the book of Revelation, a book about judgment, is one expression of grace after another. God still extending grace even in the midst of judgment. So the day of the Lord is a time where God will bring a promised, prophesied, declared, absolute day when he will bring judgment upon a wicked, God-hating, Christ-rejecting world. And that day is set. There is a day that God has already set, because remember, he knows all of history. He's already determined what that day is. We don't know what it is, but we're called to be ready for it. It's not a single day. That's another thing to understand. It is not one day, but it is a period of time that's composed of a series of events clearly taught to us in the Bible, not clearly, but laid out for us fairly clearly in books like Daniel and Ezekiel and Isaiah and Revelation. And the only thing we know about the timing, the only thing we know about the timing is it will be sudden. That's the only thing we know. And anybody that tells you when the day of the Lord is coming, they give you a date, run. They are lying. And they are wrong, and they are false teachers. Stay away from them. The Bible says very clearly, you will not know until it happens. It'll be sudden, unexpected. Verse 3 of 1 Thessalonians 5 says this, for when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. Now, I'm sure that most of you are aware that most women don't have a single contraction, and then out comes the baby, right? I know some of your women saying, oh, I wish. You know, it's a process, right? The first contraction, the first sign that the baby is coming is discomfort more than anything else. There's really not even, for most women, there's not even pain in the very beginning. It's just uncomfortable, but then that leads over time. More and more discomfort, pain starts, and that pain starts to increase, and the time in between those expressions of pain gets shorter, and as they get closer and closer to the time of delivery, the more intense it becomes. Well, that's exactly what the times leading up to the day of the Lord are going to be like. As we look around the world and say it's getting worse, yep, the labor pains, you know, leading to the deliverance, our deliverance from this wicked world, and the world's deliverance from sin through judgment is coming. And the closer we get to it, the worse it's going to get. That is just one of those signs. We look at how bad can this world get? Worse. It can get worse, and it will continue to get worse as time goes on. And so we need to be ready for that. If things are getting worse. The labor pains are leading up to the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is the delivery. And if they are getting worse and more frequent, it's a sign to us. It's a sign to us that the day of the Lord is coming. Now, for us who believe as we do, that is a hopeful thing for us, because we know we will be delivered from the day of the Lord through what we refer to as the rapture. In Matthew 24, verses 4 through 8 says this, "And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you." What does that mean? That some may try to deceive you, right? That there are deceivers out there. And some of them saying, oh, no, the day of the Lord, that's all symbolic. It's not real, It's just God expressing how much he hates sin. Okay, he's going to express it very emphatically when they are writhing in pain. "For many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ." False Christs are going to rise up. "And will deceive many." Ugh. "And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." The end is the last days, the day of the Lord. "Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." These are the labor pains as we see all these things, these pestilences and these famines and these wars and all these different things happening around the world. They are signs. These are the things that Randy is going to talk to us about. He's going to show us some of those things and talk about how they relate, especially to this verse right here. We see them over and over again as we look out into our culture. These are the beginning of sorrows. And as we see them increasing, we recognize the truth that it's going to keep getting worse. And if you keep reading down through Matthew 24, and it's also in Luke 21 and Mark 13, it's a lot of similar language there, but other things too, you get a sense of what the things we see going on in the world around us. So Paul continues with our response to this doctrine in verse 4. But you, with all of that understood, that the day of the Lord's coming, it's going to be a surprise, it's going to shock you, but you, brethren, are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You shouldn't be surprised when it happens. You are all sons of light and the sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. He's saying to us, we ought to be watching. We ought to be prepared. We ought to be paying attention to what's going on in the world so that we're looking at and saying, oh, any day now, it could come, and we believe it. And not only do we believe it, but we act like we believe it. That's the idea of being sober, is more about being serious and being attentive to this, to the realities that Jesus is coming back. We ought to be growing in our faith. We ought to be sharing our faith while there is still light. We're living in a world that it's getting darker and darker and darker, and we're being called to share our light, because there's going to come a point when the day of the Lord begins that we won't be able to. We're not going to be here. The darkness will overwhelm this world, and it will get really bad really fast. Verse 9. "For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him." Whether we wake, we're alive, or sleep, being dead, we will live together with him. "Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing." We ought to be busy about these things. Paul taught them about the rapture of the church, and he did it before the day of the Lord. Why do you think he did that? Because in his mind, they go in order. The rapture of the church happens, and then the day of the Lord happens. That's one of the reasons why we believe, in a pre-tribulation rapture. That before the day of the Lord begins, before the judgment falls upon this earth, Jesus is going to come and take his bride, the church, out of the world. He's going to deliver them from the judgment that's coming. So we're not going to be here when that all begins. We're not going to be here when judgment falls on the earth. We're not going to be here to help people through that terrible time. We're not going to be here to reveal to them that there is hope in Jesus Christ. The only hope that we have of giving them hope is in this life before the judgment begins. Because after that, they're on their own. And it will be a terrible, terrible time. Now, a great many will come to faith in Jesus Christ during that time. But our opportunity to bring light into the darkness is now. It's not going to be then. You know, this world that we're living in is messed up, and you know what? It deserves God's judgment. There is no question. It absolutely deserves it. We can look at nations. We can look at, you know, our nation. It deserves God's judgment. We can look at our state. It deserves God's judgment. I mean, we can, all around us, we see it. You know, we see people that deserve God's judgment, and the only reason we don't deserve God's judgment is because Jesus saved us from it, and he took our judgment. But, you know, the rest of the world is lost in darkness, and it deserves, and it's getting more deserving of God's judgment every single day. Many of these things that Randy is going to share are just more evidence that the world needs to be judged. It needs to be cleansed of this wickedness. And every day, we should marvel at God's patience. Marvel that he tolerates the depravity and the wickedness that is in this world. Yeah, I mean, people are doing things today that would make Sodom blush. It is like, it's messed up. You know, Randy's going to share some things, and some of those things might be terrifying, or they might make us angry, or they might discourage us. But remember, we always have to come back to the same thing. Jesus is coming back soon. That all of these things going on, God said they were going to happen. He told us. He said it so that we would be ready and that we would be able to endure to the end, whatever that means for each of us individually. And when he does, when he comes back, he's graciously going to remove his people before he judges this world. Yeah, the world's going to get bad, but comfort and edify one another with the hope that we have in the hearing of that trumpet that is calling us up to be with Jesus forever and ever. Amen?
Thank you for listening to this teaching from God's Word. It's one of my core beliefs that the Bible or Word of God has the power to transform our lives. It's my hope that these messages will help you to do just that and to glorify God and bless others and grow faith. If there's anything that we can do to help you with that, don't hesitate to connect with me. You'll find ways to do that in the show notes. In the show notes, you'll also find links to my sermon notes and other resources to help you in your study of God's Word. And sometimes we do need help to grow in our faith. If there's anything that I can do, don't hesitate to connect with me. I love talking to God's people about God and His Word. So send me your questions, and I'll do my best to answer them. This message was shared at Calvary Chapel French Valley in Murrieta, California. If you'd like more information about the church, go to calvaryfv.com. The link is in the show notes. Until next time, stay in the Word and have a radical week with Jesus.